We want to travel with Jesus according to Luke's record of his traveling into Jerusalem. And Luke's one we've been following. So we'll continue with him in our looking at Jesus on his way to Jerusalem, and then this evening see him going into Jerusalem. Remember, this morning he stopped on a certain spot on the Mount of Olives overlooking the city of Jerusalem, a city he knew he was going into and what awaited him when he got there. And he stopped and he wept, and we noted that he was not weeping for himself. It wasn't a self-pity thing for him, but he was weeping because of the souls that would reject him and would suffer judgment because of it. And that was what was first and foremost in his thinking, and that's what brought the weeping, the sobbing, the shedding of tears on his part. Now we pick up with in Luke chapter 20, begin with verse 9. Then began he to speak to the people this parable. Now this is after he's gotten into Jerusalem. A certain man planted a vineyard and led it forth to husbandmen. These would be tenants. And went into a far country for a long time. And at the season he sent a servant to the husbandmen that they should give him of the fruit of the vineyard. But the husbandmen beat him and sent him away empty. And again he sent another servant, and they beat him also and entreated him shamefully, but sent him away empty. And again he sent a third, and they wounded him also and cast him out. Then said the Lord of the vineyard, "What shall I do? I will send my beloved son. It may be they will reverence him when they see him. But when the husbandmen saw him, they reasoned among themselves, saying, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, that the inheritance may be ours.' So they cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. What therefore shall the Lord of the vineyard do unto them? He shall come and destroy these husbandmen and shall give the vineyard to others." And when they heard it, they said, "God forbid." And he beheld them and said, "What is this then that is written? The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. Whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him in powder." And the chief priests and the scribes the same hour sought to lay hands on him. And they feared the people, for they perceived that he had spoken this parable against them. Well, we are in the last days of Jesus' life. Last days before he is to suffer the terrible death, pain of the cross. Now, the last days of his life are the busiest days of his life. Never has Jesus been as busy as he was in the last days of his life. And when you think about it, the the last days of his life is so important. So important. If he had not gone into Jerusalem and what happened there had not happened, there would be no Christianity today. In fact, the world probably wouldn't be standing today. Because you see, it's Christians that have held the world together over the years. And if he had not done that, if he hadn't gone into Jerusalem, if he hadn't been put to death, then there would be no church. There would be no Christians. So these last days of his life are very, very important. And the gospel writers, all four of them, give a lot of space to the recording of the activities of his last week. I was looking at one of my old books that I had in college. My second semester in college, would go to way back, and I had that book on my shelf. And I remembered vaguely going through that in college. I said, I'm going to get that thing out and see what it says. And it's interesting what the writer said. I'd like to share that with you, of how much space that these gospel writers give to the last days of Jesus. He said that Matthew devotes 8 of 28 chapters to the last days of Jesus. 8 out of 28. And Mark, he said, 6 out of 16 chapters. 6 chapters out of 16 go to the last days. Luke, 4.5 out of 24. And John, 10 out of 21, devoted to the last days of Jesus. They're just before and entering into Jerusalem and what happened there. Out of a total, there are 90 or 89 chapters in the four Gospels. 28 of those are dealing with Jesus and his last days. So it's very, very important. The gospel writers thought it very important to give us as much information as they could on the last days of Jesus, because we're not for what went on there. And so we wouldn't be meeting here tonight. Or we wouldn't be meeting here at all. There wouldn't even be this building here, because there wouldn't be any need for a church. Nobody would see the need for one. And so Jesus, as noted, had been looking at heading toward Jerusalem. He gets there. And again, in this same book I was reading on in it, Bible scholar gives us something of the time of the year in which Jesus entered in Jerusalem and is dying. And he says that Jesus entered into Bethany, which is a city just about a couple of miles from Jerusalem, and entered that city on Friday, April the 10th. And he remained there until Sunday morning, April the 12th, when his triumphal entry to Jerusalem took place. And then he tells of his going in and out of Jerusalem for the rest of his days that he has left. And so he ends up being crucified and killed on April the 17th and rose from the grave on April the 19th. So just some a little bit of information on his activities for the week. But in that, we've been looking at parables on Sunday night. It's told by Jesus. He tells another one after he gets into Jerusalem. And he tells it to get to the heart of these people who hated him, the people who wanted to put him to death. And so he tells this parable that we've just read about a man who had a vineyard and planted a vineyard and let it out to husbandmen. Now, he's talking about a vineyard. When Jesus used parables, everybody knew what he was using to illustrate the truth. And so when he was talking about a vineyard, everybody there knew what a vineyard was. People knew what the grapevines looked like. They knew what the grapes looked like. They knew what the grapes tasted like. They knew what the juice tasted like. They knew all about a vineyard. So he wasn't telling them talking to them about anything they didn't know. And he says he planted the vineyard, and then he left the husband in charge, which were the tenants. And then after a season, a time he was away, he sent servants back to get some fruit. It was time for the fruit to come off. And so he sent them back to get fruit. And they came, he sent a servant, and they beat him up, sent him away. No, you don't get no fruit. And he sent another one, and then another one, and he beat all three of them up and sent them away without fruit. And then he said in the parable that the Lord said, "Well, what will I do? They won't let my servants have under the fruit that I planted. So what'll I do?" He said, "I know, I'll send my son, my beloved son," which means my one and only son. "I'll send him." And so when they were to send him, the tenant said, "Well, this is the heir. And so if he comes, he'll get it all. So we'll just kill him." So they killed him. And so I think we know the point of the parable. The vineyard that has been planted was God planting the people of Israel in the land of Canaan, Palestine. And he intended for his people to produce fruit. He intended for his people to be people of God, a shining light in the world to draw people to God. That's what he was intended for his people to do. He planted that vineyard in that place in the world for them to be witnesses for him and to be a light drawing them to God. But as we know, they failed to do that. They didn't do that, and the servants that he sent to tell them what they were doing wrong and what they should be doing were the prophets. And the prophets of God were sent, and they preached to them and taught them that they were doing wrong, and they were leaving God out, and they were worshiping other gods. Over and over again, they told them. And they were not doing what God intended for them to do when planting them in that place. And so the son that came, of course, is God's son that they took and killed. And so that's what is about to happen to him in Jerusalem. they are going to kill him. And so what he said, the priest and scribes were cut to the quick, because they understood, we're told, they perceived that he was talking about them. So they got it. They got what he was talking about. And whenever he told them that they were going to kill him, then it cut them. It cut them hard. Now, sometimes Jesus says things that hurt. Sometimes his word hurts, doesn't it? If we read something in the word of God that tells us that we've done something wrong, or we're doing something wrong, we're not doing something right, it hurts. And it's not bad for it to hurt us. We need to hurt if we're doing something wrong. And so what Jesus said in this parable hurt these religious leaders who were out to put an end to him and get rid of him. And this they tried to do, as we know. And then he tells something there about a stone. Notice what he says about the stone. About what is written, he says, "The stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. Whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder." Now, the stone here is who? The stone is Jesus. There's a legend that says that there was people who were building a wall, and they had their stones there to lay the foundation and to build a wall. But there was one stone there that was so odd shaped, and it just didn't look like it fit anywhere. And so they threw it aside, and they built the wall. And lo and behold, when they got the wall built, there was a missing stone. There was a hole there that wasn't filled. And the hole would look odd shaped. And they looked at that stone that they had cast aside, and it looked like it was shaped just like it would fit in there. And so they took that odd-shaped stone, and sure enough, it fit right in there. And, you know, Jesus was odd, you know, to the people. His ways, his speaking, he was just odd. And so he looked like a crooked stone that wouldn't fit. And Jesus is saying, I will fit into your life if you will just accept me. You have to bend to receive me, but you can receive me. And that's a legend told about a wall, but it's the cornerstone. And you know, the cornerstone in a building is the stone that holds other stones together. And so Jesus is the stone that holds other stones together. He holds us together, his children. He is the stone that holds us together. And that's why we're able to come together as a church family, because of his love in our hearts, his spirit in our hearts, holds us together. That's why we can get along with each other, because we are brothers and sisters held together by the love and the grace of Jesus Christ, who is the cornerstone holding us together. But this is what they rejected. And Jesus has said, I'm here, and you looking for the Messiah. I'm here. You don't believe I'm here, or the Messiah's here. You believe I'm someone else. You believe I don't fit into your way of your religion, your ritualistic ways, and your keeping the law type thing. I've come to do differently, but I will fit if you will accept me. And so, but you are rejecting me, and you are looking for the Messiah, and you are stumbling over me, injuring yourself, trying to find the Messiah. And I'm here. So they were stumbling over him and hurting themselves. And a lot of people do. A lot of people looking for a better way of life, looking for something to happen to them better than what Jesus gave. And he said, I'm here. I can help you with that. But they stumble over it. And he says they injured themselves doing that. And then he says, if this stone falls upon you, it will crush you to powder. That's a pretty healthy stone, isn't it? Now, I understand that stones used in those days were very tremendously heavy stones. But he's talking about a way that people stoned each other. One of the ways they stoned each other in that day. Let's say where there's a criminal here. And the sentence is death by stoning. Well, there's a scaffold that is built about twice as high as the tallness of the prisoner. And he's placed under that scaffold. And someone on the scaffold takes a rock and throws it at the prisoner and hits him and knocks him down, but he's not dead. And so what did they do then? Well, there's a huge stone placed on that scaffold, a huge stone. And the prisoners move right under that stone. And that stone is pushed off and falls down on the prisoner. I know it's, but and he is surely killed at that time. And that's what Jesus is talking about, the stone that crushes. And he says, and what he's saying now is that when judgment comes, when I come to judge, that I will crush you in judgment if you do not accept me as your Lord, as your Savior. And he's saying that to these priests, these religious leaders, these scribes, and yes, even the Pharisees. He's saying, if you don't accept me, I'll be like a stone on that prisoner. I will crush you in judgment. And that he will. When he comes in judgment, all who don't believe in him will be judged. And it won't be nothing good. It won't be easy. So he says, I am the cornerstone. I am the stone that many people are tripping over today. And many people will stumble and get hurt. But even more sadly, is that people who will not accept him will be crushed in judgment forever. So Jesus spending his last days in Jerusalem, in and out of Jerusalem. He goes in on Sunday, which is would be comparable to our Monday. The Sabbath was on Saturday, so it'd be comparable to our Monday. He went in. And then at the end of the day, he went back out to Bethany. Now, he had friends in Bethany. There was Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, we know, lived there. And he had friends there. Perhaps he went out to stay with them that night. Tuesday was the hardest day of his life. He went in and he spent a lot of time just feverishly working and teaching. And at the end of the day, he was so tired. He left out. And he didn't go back in on Wednesday, took the day off. Why did he take it? We don't know. Maybe he was so tired, he needed to rest. Maybe he needed to spend time alone with his Father. Maybe he needed to spend time alone with his disciples. Maybe he needed to spend time with his friends, because he knew that when he went back to Jerusalem, he was going into a hostile environment. And so on Thursday afternoon, he goes back in to Jerusalem, where he eats the Passover meal with his disciples and instituted the Lord's Supper. And left out, went to Gethsemane, was arrested out there, betrayed by Judas, arrested out there, brought back in to Caiaphas, the high priest, where he was put on a trial, a mock trial, and was later taken to Pilate the next morning, and then to Herod, back to Pilate, where he was sentenced to die. And at 9 o'clock on Friday morning, he was crucified, and he hung there until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. He was dead. He was buried. And next Sunday, we will celebrate the resurrection. But we know he didn't stay there. And what a glorious time it was that morning when those women found the empty tomb. So we'll be celebrating next Sunday. We're going to sing our hymn.